So we've just read what happened at Pentecost on that first kind of time that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. And I wanted to share three things, including something that's really been challenging me over the last few weeks since we started looking at Acts. So the first thing, if we can have the first slide, is that the disciples were waiting. They knew that they couldn't do what Jesus had told them, which was to go and make disciples of all nations, by themselves. But Jesus had promised them help with this, and so they were waiting for it. And that kind of reminded me of a kite. Naomi, can I borrow you? So I've got a kite. Oh, I haven't got a kite. Oh, it's there. Someone's taken my kite. There it is. And Naomi, can you just fly this kite for me? No. So why can't you fly the kite, Naomi?
Because there's no wind.
Yeah. So she can't fly the kite because there's no wind. Kites are made to fly, but they can't actually fly on their own. They do need help from the wind. They wait for the wind to blow and to lift them up, and then they fly. Let's see if we can fly it now. Let's have a go. It might not be that technical. Maybe your dad can help you. Here we go. It's going to need a bit of help from your father. That might be spiritual as well. Yeah, we go. So the disciples waited for the wind of the Holy Spirit to fill them and help them, just like Naomi's kite was waiting for the wind and it needed that help from the wind. They couldn't kind of hype it up and whip it up themselves. They couldn't do it by their own efforts. Just like the kite can't make itself fly and it can't make the wind blow, the disciples couldn't do it all by themselves. They needed the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you, Naomi. There we go. The second thing is that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't just kind of coat them on the outside like a layer of sun cream. They were filled with it. It changed them on the inside. It filled them up. We heard in the psalm at the start, if you could see behind the people who are standing, that God breathed his spirit into creation and that it's life-giving and restoring. And that made me think of bubbles. So Elijah, we've got some bubbles as well. That idea of being filled with a powerful breath which shapes you and changes you, the bubble liquid is changed by the breath filling it. It's kind of transformed from what it was before into something else. Go on, blow us some bubbles, Elijah. Yeah, the breath is what brings that change, being filled. Oh, that one didn't work. Breathe slowly, Boo. Slowly, slowly. Oh, okay. Our breath is imperfect, but the Holy Spirit does fill us perfectly. So, but yeah, it changed them. When God breathed on them and into them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, like the bubble is filled with air, it transformed them. It didn't just kind of, yeah, like I say, coat them. It filled them. So thank you, Elijah. And then the final thing that I kind of noticed here, and this is the one that's kind of been challenging me, is that the disciples were sent. They didn't just get filled with the Holy Spirit so they could have really cool meetings together with great worship and lots of encouraging prophetic words for each other. The Holy Spirit was there to help them do what Jesus had instructed, which was telling everybody, everywhere, about him. And in Acts 2, we heard when Julian read it about Peter talking to the crowd. It said, if you'd carried on reading there, that on that day, loads of people believed in Jesus and they became part of following him. And then straight after Acts 2, we get Acts 3, strangely. And that starts with Peter and John going to the temple. And there's a man there who's by the gate and he can't walk. He's never been able to walk in his life. And he's there and he's begging for money. And Peter says to him, we don't have any money. And then he says, but I can give you something else. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man instantly is healed. He starts walking, he starts jumping about, he starts praising God. The people all around are pretty amazed. I mean, I think that's fair enough, I would be too. And Peter gets the chance to tell all of them about Jesus. And obviously, I don't know this for definite, but I do kind of wonder if that would have happened if Peter and John hadn't been full of the Holy Spirit at that time. I mean, only a little while before, Peter was too afraid to even admit that he knew Jesus. You know, people said to him, oh, you were his friend. No, never met the bloke before in my life. But here he is saying to this man, I can offer you Jesus. And it says that the Holy Spirit gave them boldness to share Jesus. That was one of the things that the Holy Spirit did. And that's what's been challenging me, I think, is that question. Am I so full of the Holy Spirit that I'm bold enough to offer Jesus to people when that's not actually what they seem to be asking for? Because I know that that's actually what they really need. And I want to challenge you too, I guess. When you find yourself in situations with your friends at school, with your neighbours, with the people you work with, the people you play squash with, go for walks with, sing in choir with, meet at something that ISCA's running, you know, at the Beacon or somewhere else, and you're volunteering, when those people have a problem and they're expressing a need, like that man at the temple who couldn't walk, are you, am I, so full of the Holy Spirit that kind of what I offer is Jesus, and that's what spills out of me and overflows so that people's lives are changed? Because if I'm really honest, in those situations I can often think, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, this is a bit awkward, this is a big problem, I don't have what they're asking for and what they say they need. Like Peter and John didn't have the money, which was what the man was asking for. And then I'm either kind of tempted to try and offer some make-do advice and words of support or whatever that doesn't really do a lot, kind of like scrabbling around in your pocket to see if you've got a couple of pennies to chuck in his pot to make yourself feel better, and then you just keep going. Or maybe even worse, I just kind of move on and change the subject because it's all a bit awkward. And they could have just walked past him. They could have said, no, sorry, mate, and carried on walking. But they didn't. And I really do want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that in those situations I offer Jesus. And I guess that means, like we've just seen, waiting on God and allowing myself to be filled and to keep being filled regularly so that I'm bold enough with the Holy Spirit's help to kind of make that offer of Jesus to people and trust that he will change their lives. And that's the challenge for me and maybe for you as well. And so we're going to spend some time now just waiting and asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. And Julian's going to guide us through that. It's going to get practical now. And that expectancy is here that God is going to move and we are going to be filled.